Kirk, how you doing?
Very good, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Now, you're a big Steelers fan, I learned yesterday, sitting beside you in the press box. What's your guess for the game tonight against the Titans?
Well, I am not a Steelers fan. I am a Steelers fan tonight, though.
Oh, you have them in fantasy. That's what it was.
I am in a survivor pool, and I'm in one that has two legs, and I'm the last undefeated man. So,
really?
Go Steelers.
Wow.
Just for today, though.
Oh, okay. There you go. Riders, Eskimos, definitely not a pretty game offensively by any stretch, but maybe we shouldn't be surprised when you consider both teams didn't start the game with their starting quarterbacks, and defenses have pretty much dominated all year.
That, and you look at Corey Chamberlain and Chris Jones, and those are a couple of pretty good defensive minds as well. So you add it all up, and it wasn't overly surprising that we had another CFL game this year that ended with both teams in the teens. Or under 20, there's been a lot of that this year. So, yeah, with both starting quarterbacks missing the first half, it wasn't going to be a shootout, that's for sure. And Chris Jones won the battle. It was going to come down to defense, and I think he won the battle.
Yeah, their defense is very good. But right after the game, you know, I talked to Rennie Curran. The Eskimos, of course, 0-3 against the Stampeders this year. And I said, hey, what's been the difference? He said flat out they were more physical than us on the defensive line. Obviously, only talking about from a defensive perspective, John Cornish and, you know, the running attack. And he mentioned their offensive line and how the defense, the front seven of the Eskimos, needs to be more physical than Calgary. Does Calgary's offensive line get overlooked in your mind?
I don't know how they could get overlooked because, I mean, they are one of the best, if not the best. I mean, Saskatchewan had five very good offensive linemen out there yesterday, and they produced a season-low 47 yards rushing, and 27 of that was from Tino Cinceri. So, you know, that front seven of Edmonton yesterday just threw the house at those poor offensive linemen. And it's a toss-up. I mean, I think Calgary and Saskatchewan are 1A and 1B when it comes to offensive line in this league. And you saw what Edmonton did to Saskatchewan yesterday. So it'll be very interesting to see if Chris Jones fires the same kind of thing at Calgary and John Cornish, because like Corey Chamberlain said last night, I mean, they just totally took away the run game with all that zero blitzing they did. So it'll be interesting to see if they can have that same kind of effect, because John Cornish is a little bit better than Anthony Allen, and that'll be the X factor when it comes to that specific battle.
I think it's safe to say Bo Levi Mitchell's not throwing five interceptions tomorrow. So,
no.
The Eskimos offense is going to be a lot. They have to be more productive. They didn't score a touchdown yesterday. Only had three field goals and two singles from the offensive side of things. Mike Riley will be a week healthier. How much healthier he is, we don't know. But John White finished the game with basically 66% of the total offense for the Eskimos, which is great for him. But they're going to need somebody else to show up offensively.
I think they're going to need Mike Riley to show up. I think they need that run game, you know, in their games this year when Riley was in there. I guess it was just the first one, correct?
Yeah.
You know, he looked, you know, he has that capability, and nobody can. He's kind of almost like the John Cornish on the Eskimo side of the ball, because you just, you know, he's hard to bring down. He gets big chunks when he runs, and you know, that's my fear if I'm an Eskimos fan, is how much of Mike Riley's game is still going to be available on Sunday, because you know, we're only talking about 7 days here. I realize the injury happened now, it'll be almost four weeks since the injury happened. Maybe three, I guess. So, you know, that I'm just wondering, how healthy is Mike Riley really going to be? And if he's not, I really think that is going to hurt Edmonton's offense. I mean, if he can't run, then the Stampeders shouldn't have too much trouble shutting down John White. So that's the big thing. How healthy is Mike Riley going to be?
It definitely a good question, and no one's going to know.
No.
Doesn't want to give a percentage on it, and because their offense was successful when, you know, if they're second and four, and they call passing play, and he doesn't see anything, he would scramble for it. Like yesterday, Matt Nichols, there was a few cases specifically. I know the one when the Eskimos were driving into Saskatchewan territory, he was inside the 20 and had 3 yards to run and had about 15, and he elected to throw the ball. Like, were you surprised? Did he look just so tentative to want to run?
Yeah, he did, and it was strange. Like you said, we were sitting right beside each other, and you said right there is where Mike Riley gets the first down. And the only, I mean, I not having been around Matt Nichols that much, and you know, not really knowing his personality or what he likes. Like his reputation is a pocket passer, so you know, I guess he doesn't like to run. But that seemed a little overboard yesterday. And you just wonder if, you know, it's in the back of his mind that he needs to stay healthy just because of Riley's inability to, you know, to do anything else other than drop back and throw the ball. Because he said the week before in Saskatchewan the plan was to shut down, you know, no running hardly at all so that he would stay healthy because, you know, there really wasn't much else behind him. So it was strange. You're right. And, you know, it could have been... It could have turned more of those turnovers into points. Like 5 points off 6 turnovers was very un-Eskimo-like because they were the kings of that this year. They scored the most points off turnovers. And yeah, it just seemed like it just, I don't know what the reason was, but you're right. It just wasn't all there because of Matt Nichols.
Kirk Penton joins us. Kirk, out east, Montreal absolutely obliterates BC. The crossover continues to be never as easy as people think for the West to go out east. But BC was a train wreck of a team. You know what? Toronto realistically probably is a better team than them, would have put up a better fight against Montreal anyway. But when you look at the Montreal-Hamilton game, who do you like and why?
That's a great question. Just looking at their numbers today, and it is ridiculously close. Montreal gave up 394 points and Hamilton gave up 395 points. Their defenses are very similar. They're very stout against the run. And you got two first-year quarterbacks who don't exactly have very good vertical games. You know, you have a couple of decent running backs, fairly new to both teams in Rutley and Grigsby. I don't know if Moses Madu will be ready or not. I think he will be, but he's kind of a newbie too. So they're very similar teams. I just think, you know, that Hamilton team has something going there at Tim Hortons Field. And, it's just because they're playing at home doesn't mean they're going to win. But there's something to be said for getting on that roll and getting that confidence at home. And they haven't lost in that park yet. It's sold out 4 days ago already, so they've got 24,000 screaming fans ready to go on Sunday. So I don't know. It's going to be very hard to pick against Hamilton. It really is. Zach Caleros has been around a little bit longer and played more than Jonathan Crompton. And even though Montreal's offensive line is better, I just think that there are enough intangibles there that Hamilton will be making a return trip to the Grey Cup.
And do you think the East has any chance over either of the Western teams?
No. Simply put, the Grey Cup is this Sunday in Calgary.
Which leads me to my next question, Kirk. Do you think the CFL will seriously contemplate going to one division six, and the top six teams make the postseason?
I just don't see it.
I just
to listening to everything that the league higher-ups have said over the years, although, you know, that interview you had with Wally Buono a couple weeks ago, when Wally says something, usually more people listen, right, instead of us just flapping our gums. So when he said that, then maybe, that made me think maybe it could happen. But, you know, I wrote in my little CFL Blitz piece today, I looked at the matchups that would have happened yesterday if both of those scenarios had gone in, and I believe it was Montreal, it was all east and west. It was like Montreal at Edmonton and Hamilton at BC, and just these games that, I don't know, if, you know, not very appetizing for CFL rivalries. Nothing like, it wouldn't have had anything anywhere. It wouldn't have been anywhere near the Saskatchewan-Edmonton game. And even that rivalry's, you know, lost a bit over the years, considering that was their first game in 10 years together in the postseason. So I just don't know if they're ready to do it. I don't know if they – I just don't – it's just my feeling, but I just don't see it happening for quite a while.
Yeah, it's to me, the schedule is already balanced. Like, I don't think there's no reason why the CFL – and I'd love the new commissioner to come in and say, okay, let's do this.
Right. No, you're right about the schedule. Like, you can get away with it, no problem. It's not a problem of scheduling at all. You still play the teams that are closest to you. Edmonton still plays Calgary 3 or 4 times a year. Saskatchewan and Winnipeg still play each other 3 or 4 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get down to the playoffs, you know, you got teams that aren't rivals fighting for spots, and then they end up playing each other in the playoffs. And I think that's a risk. That's a risk that these teams take. You saw what the playoff attendance was yesterday, and those were games from between geographic rivals. Imagine if it was, you know, Hamilton at Edmonton yesterday. How many people would have showed up for that game? So, I don't know. I'm wondering what the club presidents and owners are thinking about that.
Yeah, I guess I can see a part of that.
I'd love it. Personally, yeah. I would love it.
And you could go even a step further. Wally Buono told me he wants the 7 teams to make it, which means then there's one extra playoff game. And because the playoff gates are shared anyway, you know what? That kind of eliminates any concern over having 5,000 or 3,000 or 2,000 fewer fans for the odd game.
That's true. But who knows? I mean, if teams – my theory all year on this issue has been once teams start losing out on home playoff games, which, you know, like you said, it's but there's a bunch of other money involved in hosting playoff games, and once teams start losing that ability because of, you know, disparity between one division from the other, then you'll see change. So there hasn't been, you know, this year was a little different. It was really lopsided because of Ottawa and how bad the East teams were hurting early in the year. So it'll pick up more steam if it happens again next year, but I just don't have the feeling that it's going to be happening anytime soon.
And I asked Sean Fleming yesterday if he'd been approached for the commissioner's job. He said no.
Okay.
He said if he was, he might consider, you know, going through the process, but he wasn't.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anybody's name for the commissioner yet. Copeland said he doesn't want the job. Who are you hearing for the commissioner? And do you think the other major change for the CFL? Maybe starting the season 1 month earlier, because I think then your playoff gates, if you were worried about the rivalries, the nicer weather would counter that.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we were trying to figure out why. And Mark Cohan was asked a couple years ago, I think it was, if they had considered moving the season up. And he didn't really give a good answer. It was, you know, it was kind of a bunch of baffle gab kind of thing where he said, it's something we've examined, but no, it's not going anywhere. And I assume that had something to do with the NHL playoffs. That's one thing you have to consider. TSN used to obviously have more playoff hockey to worry about. But, you know, maybe that's changed now that that there's a new broadcast agreement. So I don't see the harm in it, really. I mean, if you're worried about going up against the NHL playoffs, you just schedule games. Like, I think you pretty much know when the NHL final is going to be played, what days. So you get into a little rhythm, you play schedule games on nights when there isn't any hockey, and you're laughing. And then you can wrap up the season at the end of October, maybe the first week in November, and you don't have to worry about minus 10, 15 temperatures. The Grey Cup is here in Winnipeg next year. I believe it's the 29th of November.
Oof.
Like, we're talking... like, that's going to be the game that is going to cause the CFL to move its schedule up a month. Because I can only imagine, I just picked up my kid from school, and I couldn't stand outside for more than 5 minutes. It was that miserable. So I can only imagine what it's going to be like 2 weeks from now.
And one last one for you, Kirk. Kevin Glenn played terrible for BC yesterday.
Yeah.
Kerry Joseph, we know, is retiring. Do you think Kevin Glenn is back? Will the team have him?
Well, he's a free agent, so I think that ship will probably sail there, but boy, that quarterback situation in BC is a mess. So I don't know if they, you know, depending on what Travis Lule, what happens to his shoulder in the offseason, I don't know. Maybe they won't have anybody better, and maybe they do have to bring back Kevin Glenn next year. But I don't know. We'll see. As for the commissioner thing, a name that did pop up was Jacques Clymie that I heard, but I don't know how much there is to that one.
Jacques Clymie?
Yeah. Lawyer.
Yeah. You know,
former player.
Really?
I don't know. I kind of found that one kind of intriguing.
Yeah, okay.
Again, nothing has really happened. Like, it's going very slowly, that process right now.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that'd be an interesting one for sure.
Yeah.
Kirk,
yeah.
Always good to talk to you, man. We'll talk to you before the Grey Cup.
Sounds good, Jason. Take care.